There are millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously, crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Sell or Die. Today is Wednesday, so this is Women Crush Wednesday. Normally, it's me joined with another woman.
But I took my dress off this morning.
You did?
Just to appear. Oh, I mean, I put it on. And then Jen insisted that I take it off. But
there's actually a picture of you, and I don't know the history of this story, but there's a picture of you right when you walk into the office, and you're wearing a skirt.
Yeah, it's because there was a magazine in Charlotte called Skirt, and they had notable citizens of Charlotte wearing a dress.
So like men and women?
No,
oh,
men.
Only men.
Yeah. So I was second on the thing. I was the second person ever.
Really?
Wore it. Yeah.
And
the governor.
Oh, that's so cool.
The governor, I think it was he was the mayor at the time, was first and then me.
Oh, I love cool? that. That's yeah. really a huge honor.
Oh, it was amazing.
All right. So if you're joining us for the first time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto.
And I wrote Sales in a New York Minute. And today we have a very special guest. It's me. Jeffrey is filling in as me, I guess, and interviewing me for Woman Crush Wednesday. And I am so honored. Thank you, Jeffrey.
It's a pleasure, Jen. It's going to be a grill. And I'm going to make sure that you are crushing it for our audience.
Okay, let's do it.
So where'd you grow up?
New Jersey / New York. I don't know what exit.
What do you mean?
It was like New York.
Huh?
It was like more like New York.
Got it. So you were 20 minutes from the city?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how often did you go into the city?
Every day.
So you're relatively a New Jersey / New Yorker.
Yeah.
Not like me. I'm a New Jersey / Philadelphian.
Yeah, no.
But I've lived both places, so I at least can claim, I can claim some citizenry. And my family's from Brooklyn, so I have all of those attributes of being a jackass. And for those of you who have never, some of you have never even been to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But many of you who have been there say, well, people are rude, right? It's New York. What's your point? You go to Paris, people are rude.
I don't think that they're rude. They're just thinking about their own stuff.
They're in a hurry.
They're like
they
in
got
their
stuff
own
to
world.
Do. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But I grew up in this small town in New Jersey, and I was once in the city. I was in high school, so like I went to school, high school in the city. And we're in the city. It's at night on a weekend. And I meet this girl like who's talking to other people in our social circle. I'm like, oh, where do you live? And she's like, I live in New Jersey. I'm like, oh, me too. Where do you live? She's like, Alpine. I'm like, me too. And then we realized we were next door neighbors. But we had to go to New York to actually meet each other. And we had lived next to each other for like 5 years. But where I grew up, you didn't really talk to your neighbors.
Right.
And so.
Even in South Jersey, I grew up. You don't talk to your neighbors. I lived in a house in Clementon, New Jersey, on the top of a hill, but there were like three or four other houses on the same street. And I met these people at the garage sale when I was moving.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's so
lived there for 4 years. Met them at the garage sale when I was leaving. Isn't that crazy or what?
I love it. Oh, my God.
So anyway, Jen is a writer and a speaker and a course producer. Can you tell us about the courses that you're producing right now?
Sure. So I help entrepreneurs sell stuff. So oftentimes I find that entrepreneurs are really good at whatever it is they set out to do. So if I'm a baker and I own a bake shop, I am like the best baker on the planet.
And passionate about it.
Right. And super passionate about it. But when you got into baking or you got into creating your retail product, your, you know, your soaps or your CBD oil or whatever it may be, maybe you take photography, you know, you take pictures of people or you're a copywriter, you got into it because you're passionate and love that product or service that you're offering.
But quickly found out.
Right. Most of these people that I work with have found out that they didn't really love the sales part of it. But in order to survive, it's like the name of our show, you sell or die.
So your job is to help these entrepreneurs sell more, sell better, sell for profit, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's about attracting clients and then connection with them, like developing a genuine connection where it doesn't feel like salesy or slimy to make a sale, and closing the deal and then earning that relationship for a lifetime and earning referrals and that kind of thing.
And do you think it helped you being in the city, learning how to sell in New York City?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And well, I mean, explain to the audience what value there is in going to New York City, taking an Airbnb for 3 months, and cold calling.
Well, okay, so they say if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And you've all heard that term. And my feeling is if you can make the sale there, you can make it anywhere. Because legit, it is one of the toughest places to make a sale. People do not care about your feelings. People do not care about sitting down with you and trying to form a connection. They literally just want to hear your spiel. And you have to back it up a little bit to really try to make that connection.
So, point of trivia, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who wrote that? It's up to you, New York, New York.
Yeah.
I don't know who wrote that.
I don't know who wrote that. You guys,
so, diehards, if you're listening right now.
We have Bryn here. What's up, Bryn?
Yeah.
Cynthia's here. Dave, Adam. What's up, guys? Say
who
hey.
Who wrote New York, New York? That's what I want to know right
now.
You
guys can Google it for us.
It takes 2 seconds. It's amazing how quickly you can find things right now.
Oh, yeah. It's
Mother Google
incredible.
Is like, yeah. I Googled two things this morning that were so damn obscure. And like, I thought of an old rock and roll song. I took out my iPhone. I put it in there. I said, I Love You by The Volumes YouTube. And boom, the song pops up in 2 seconds and we played it.
Dave says Frank Sinatra. I thought
no,
so.
No, he did not write the song. He sang the song. Come on.
I don't know.
He
Bryn
did
says
not
it too.
Write this. It's like a Bobby Mercer.
Maybe or, he did.
No.
Maybe he
there's
did.
No way.
I love
it's
it.
Like a Hoagie Carmichael. Something Mercer.
Adam says Sinatra. Everyone's saying Sinatra. What
no, they,
Google
he
say?
Sang the song. Frank Sinatra couldn't write. He didn't know how. He grew up in Hoboken.
Did people you meet him? Like, how do you know he couldn't write?
I saw him perform once.
But Fred Ebb wrote it, says Bryn.
Now you're
way
talking.
Way to go, Bryn.
Thank you.
Hey, Amy.
Exactly. Frank Sinatra. Jackasses.
I okay. love Frank Sinatra.
So do I. But
he's a great singer.
But he wrote nothing.
I'm like an old soul,
he sang
you guys.
Other people's songs.
That's okay.
It's like the old world version of, I can see it, Rod Stewart. Sings nothing but other people's songs and doesn't really do a great job of it. Sinatra did an amazing job of it. Just my opinion. I could be wrong.
I did pass Rod Stewart once on an escalator. He was going up and I was going down. Hmm. I was like, whew.
Yeah. I passed Little Richard one night. We were at the Sheraton Universal in Universal City. When the twins were 2 or 3, we were staying on the 15th floor. The fire alarm went off, and we had to get down the fire thing. And all these celebrities are going down. I saw Robert Wagner, and I saw Little Richard going down the steps.
Wow, it was like, that's like, pretty cool.
Like, I look at Little Richard, I go, I have all your records.
So this is really cool what Adam said. He said, this goes to show that it's all about who delivers the message.
Right.
Because Sinatra brought it to life. That's right.
Right. But there are other, like, let's take, for example.
But the message mattered, too, because if the message sucked and Sinatra tried to sing it,
yeah, that's
that wouldn't
true.
Work either. So
okay,
like
so three prominent two-fold. People sang I Did It My Way,
mm-hmm.
which is another New York City song, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Die Hard, you want to know who sang it best?
Who?
Well, I don't, you tell me. We're asking the audience. This
oh,
is
I don't
a,
know.
A trivia.
We're
I did
trivia.
It my way, and then I'm going to tell you right now, you can't beat me to it. Paul Anka wrote it and performed it. That was the first person who did it. And then two people literally made it their anthem, Sinatra and Elvis.
Mm.
And so, you know, and when they went to Mistakes I've Made a Few, they left off the word million. And yeah, listen, you know, you're out there, Jen, you've made mistakes in New York City, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Don't you have to kind of eat dirt when you do?
Yeah.
I mean, you feel like shit, but you rub a little dirt on it and you get over it and you go to the next call.
Yeah. So I'm like really hard on myself and I hate making mistakes. And for some reason, I think I hold myself to a different standard than like I hold others.
I hope you do. Everyone should.
You all probably feel the same way and do the same thing. So I think it was like the other day I was like, oh, I made a mistake. And Jeffrey was like, okay. And I'm like, I just hate when I mess up. Like I effed up. And he was like, okay. And so like, for me, it's about practicing allowing yourself to make that mistake and learning from it, because I have to focus on like, where's the opportunity here? What have I learned so that I can actually like focus on the good part of it?
So I'm privy to one of the things that you're working on, from passion to profit.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to talk to people about where the idea came from and what you think the end result of it is going to be.
Yeah. So when I started my business, I started networking a ton in New York City, and I was meeting with and running these networking groups with a lot of entrepreneurs. And that's when I realized that they were great at delivering their product or service, but not always amazing at the sale part of it. Some of it is a confidence, like they're afraid to be rejected because your product or service is so passionate to you that you don't want to be turned down, because them turning down their product or service is like they're turning down you know? And then I started working with lots of entrepreneurs and realized that the females I was working with had a lot of similar issues. Like they feel like they're working all the time. Not to say that like men aren't, but they're also then going home and working and taking care of the family and not really making time for themselves and just like doing all the things. And so I've come up with this program that I had named originally Cashflow to CEO, but we're going through like a rebranding, renaming process, where it's really targeted towards helping female entrepreneurs sell their product or service in a way that creates more time back in their day and also helps you feel like you don't have to work all the time.
But the key is, the first word is passion.
Yes.
And if you are not passionate about your product or your service, you're probably in the wrong business as an entrepreneur. Because many people start a business because they think they can, quote, make a lot of money.
You know, I was thinking about all of the different sales jobs I've had. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the same thing about you, but every sales job I've had, I've been very fortunate to be successful at. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about like, what's the one trend, the theme that's gone on throughout? And really it's that like, I've become a living, breathing product of the product, if it was a product, and have become like uber passionate about it to the point where I'm thinking about whatever it may be morning, noon, and night, because I'm so excited about how it could help impact other people. So like when I was selling Cutco knives, for example, I used the knives. Like I started cooking just so I could use the knives.
You
and
see
I
this
ate
Band-Aid?
A lot of ice cream.
I got it cutting. Okay. But here's the deal. Die Hard, if you go out and you film yourself, video yourself giving a sales presentation and then watch it, the first question I want you to answer is, where's the passion?
Yes.
And if you can't answer that, then you're giving a pretty much a boring presentation, clicking through slides and talking to people about bullshit facts that they don't want. Facts and figures are forgotten. Stories are retold.
No one really wants a like PowerPoint presentation. Like people want to hear what you're about to deliver. Like they want facts and figures at some point during the sales process.
No, email them like, the night before.
I agree. Like people don't want to sit through that, you guys.
So Jen is a passionate person. She is literally, she's her own diehard. She wakes up in the morning and she is on fire to walk the dogs, talk to Gabrielle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say talk to the dogs, because I do that too.
Yeah. But be ready for work in a way that she's on fire when she gets there. Now, I don't know whether you're on fire or not, but for those of you who are not, go to Target, get a candle, light it, and sit on it. And that way you'll
burn your ass.
No, put your ass on fire. If you are not fired up about your job, you may want to quit and go do something that you're fired up about and take Jen's course from passion to profit. You're a fool not to do what you love.
Oh, 100%. And Bryn here says, I always say a good business has to meet three criteria. One, you have to be passionate about it. Two, you have to be really good about it. And three, people have to be willing to pay for it. And that's totally true. I think that so many people get stuck in their job that they become unpassionate about. And for me, I went through that. Like, I was working for a company for 6.5 years and I loved it. Almost every day of it, except for the last year and a half of it.
Right. And you hated it every
but
minute.
But it was easy. I knew exactly what to do. It was a secure job. It was good money. I knew how to make the sales. I knew how to run the sales team. I mean, it was like, why would someone leave this kind of situation? Like, that, you know, but I would walk in every day.
Apathy.
Like, I would walk in every day, unhappy to be there because it was really wearing on me. And so at some point, if that is ever happening to you, like, you have to just like face your fear, because for me, it was like fear of the unknown, like fear of taking that leap to the next step, fear of figuring out like, okay, well, how do I make this jump and create the same kind of consistent income that I'm used to? Because I don't know what's going to come next. And so I get that kind of stuff. And that's a lot of people who I work with, is people who are trying to make that leap, who are trying to overcome that fear and really to go from like idea conception of a launch to like, you know, a six-figure, seven-figure business.
So give me Bryn's list again.
She said, you have to be passionate about it. Mm-hmm. You have to be really good about it. Mm-hmm. And you people have to be willing to pay for it.
Those are three things that are surface. Let's go beneath the surface. Okay. You have to be willing to take the risk. Mm-hmm. No risk, no reward. You've heard that. I say no risk, no nothing. And you have to be willing to bet your last $10 that you have to your name that this is going to win.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not in it. You don't have the passion.
Yeah.
Passion equals I'm going to stick at this until I drown or die or win.
Well, I think she's saying like you've already done
no,
that.
No, no, no. She's not. Done. She hasn't said that.
Yeah,
she is. No, she's not.
Yeah, she is. She's not. Friends, team Bryn.
Oh, got it. Okay, but if you're not willing to put your last $10 on it, you're not really willing to do it with passion.
Yeah.
Passion is all about I'm willing to lose.
Well, also it's like the confidence level of being willing to bet on yourself.
Right.
And that's not just passion, but that's dedication. That's commitment. That's knowing that you're going to show up in the way that you need to show up for your people.
Well,
you know,
I don't
that
know
kind
if
of
I
thing.
Can pay my mortgage this month. No, no, dude, if you win, you pay the house off, not just make a mortgage payment. And if you're not willing to go out and bet it on yourself, who the hell are you willing to bet it on?
Yeah. Well, Bryn and I are having Little Woman Crush Wednesday right here in the chat thing. But she said she met me the day I quit that job. And she did. And she was a big reason that she actually gave me a lot of guidance into, Jen, you can do this. You can make that jump and jump into entrepreneurship and go for it. And so thanks, Bryn.
So this is the challenge for our listeners, right? I'm interviewing Jen, who is a crusher. She literally is a crusher. And so when she came up with the idea, it was because she was emulating herself and she wanted other people, other women on the show who could actually crush it, who are actually crushing it. Bryn's been a guest.
Yeah.
And so have other women who I've listened to every episode. They're damn good. And the women are on fire. And Jen's a good interviewer. She draws it out of them. So therefore, the passion of Women Crush Wednesday starts with Jen.
100%. So, I mean, when I started my business, I was more focused on helping salespeople and going to big teams and giving talks and really pushing those sales teams forward and making the impact there. And the reason why I've done a lot of this transitioning into helping female entrepreneurs is because as I've come across more and more female entrepreneurs, I've realized that like they're the people who really with just a little help can make a ton more impact in my opinion. And so I felt like I could be helpful there. Like just like Bryn gave me that little push of like, you can do this and the guidance and the steps. Like I am that person for a lot of other people now. And it feels good to be able to guide those people in the same way, because like, what if I had never gotten that push, you know? And so like every female out there deserves that. And you know, I'm not going to get into like the whole equality thing because I'm really not a, I'm not.
Women are way more equal than men. Way more equal.
No, I think that like it's just something you shouldn't focus on. Like, okay, so
go bust your balls and make it happen.
We all agree that equality doesn't, you know, quite exist yet. But if that's your focus, then it's never going to exist. If you say, screw that, it doesn't exist. And that doesn't matter to me. I'm still going to go make sales. I'm still going to go make money. I'm still going to go make major impact. Then that's your focus. And that's what you're going to make happen.
Go read George Orwell's Animal Farm. All the animals on the farm are equal. Some are more equal than others. And once you understand that, you get over it. Like, don't speak for women. Just speak for yourself and do for yourself. That's the key to this is resign your position, chapter 12.5 of the Little Red Book of Selling. Resign your position as general manager of the universe and just concentrate on keeping your own closet clean.
Mm-hmm. But like where we put – I'm really a lot about mindset and thoughts and stuff because where we put our attention in our thoughts is where we then use those thoughts to create beliefs and those beliefs turn into actions and those actions turn into results. And so if we're putting our thoughts on, oh, it's not equal or the customer didn't call me back or the customer didn't buy from me and that's where the thoughts are – then that's going to keep perpetuating because that's the story you're telling yourself. And so I'm all about figuring out what those stories are that you are telling yourself because we all tell ourselves stories.
And let me add one more point to Bryn's list.
Yeah.
Don't be a fucking whiner. Just get over it, get over yourself, and go do business.
Bryn, your list is getting lots of edits.
But listen, this is the challenge. You're a positive progressive person. And I don't mean progressive from a political perspective. I'm talking about from a business perspective. You want what's now, what's new, and what's next.
Yeah.
And you're creating courseware to be able to make that happen.
But yeah. So I didn't always start out like very positive. My dad growing up was extremely positive.
Mm-hmm. That helps.
And a lot of my other family members may not have been as positive. Just saying. And when I met you, Jeffrey, I was like so attracted to your positive vibe that I was like, wow, how do I get that? Like, where does that come from?
I think you got it. I'm not really sure.
And so it took like, I would say 4 years in the making. Like it was, 'cause I had to undo all the negativity that had been, you know, in me for however many years, decades of my life.
Well, the formula I think is, one positive year for every 6 or 7 years in New York City.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm okay now.
Exactly.
But it took a lot of studying. It took a lot of reading. It took a lot of practicing.
Courses.
Oh, yeah. Like, you guys, when you start doing this, it's amazing because you'll have this one moment where you'll be like, wow, I would have complained in that situation, but like, let me find the opportunity or like, let me find the good part of that. Or, you know, something shitty will happen and your resilience and your ability to be able to react, respond, recover in that situation will be so on point because you're not stuck in the shitty part of it that you're like, wow, I did that. How do I do that again? And it becomes like this, like, thing that you keep desiring because you're like, wow, these results are so much better when you think positively. I think it was you who talked about like when you get into a fight with someone and
right, you block your creativity.
And so like, you know, you'll say like later on, oh, I wish I said that or I wish I said that. And it's because your thoughts are you say it.
When people are accosted and they get into an argument about it, you lose your ability to create that perfect response. And you can see it anywhere, especially in an employer-employee relationship when the employee is complaining to other employees as opposed to having a right response for their boss.
Yeah.
And I get questions, what do I do when my boss doesn't blah, 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 blah. Now, if you don't know what to do, what the hell are you thinking? And I tell people, go into your boss's office and jump up on the desk and scream. That's the best way to get the attention of the boss. Like, boss, I could be earning twice as much money by making double my sales, but this is happening, and this is happening. If you want to do something about it, I'm willing right now to help. If you're not, I have to go work for the competition. Thank you. Goodbye.
And have a nice day.
Right.
We had someone call yesterday who was like getting like the biggest deal for life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, my boss is about to steal this deal. Like, my boss emailed the client without me. Like, what? And it's like, when you're that like worked up about, because like, if this is the biggest deal ever, and then your boss is about to take it from under you, you're like, I'm gonna fight. This is fucking awful. This is ridiculous. And when you're in that zone, it's like you can't, you know, you need to cool off before you can have that kind of ability.
Especially if the client is friendly with you and you feel like the relationship is basically built from you to them based on trust and belief and confidence.
Mm-hmm. That's a quick way to ruin trust, let me tell you. Michael Silverman is here.
Oh, cool. The great Mike Silverman. You know, I was thinking about you the other day, Michael. I was wearing longs and shorts.
I thought you were going to say, like, I was in the shower.
No. It's a very rare combination. When you go to camp, they tell you in the morning, shorts, the first word is what sleeve.
By the way, at girl camp, they don't tell you how to dress.
Yeah. They tell you what size sleeve to wear, longs or shorts, and then they tell you what kind of pants to wear, shorts
or longs. How do you know which is which?
You just know.
Oh.
And so they would, you know, good morning campers, shorts and shorts.
So every single person would be wearing shorts and shorts?
Yep.
I'd be a rebel. I'd be like, it's shorts and longs. What are you talking about?
So I wore... Yesterday, I wore a long sleeve shirt and short pants, and it's a rare combo.
Really?
Yeah. Usually, it's longs and longs.
How would they even determine this? Everyone's body temperature is different.
By the outside temperature, you're in the Poconos; it's freezing cold in the late.
Oh my goodness!
In August. So anyway,
David Mamano is here, and he's going to be here tomorrow in person. How freaking cool is that?
Yep. So we're talking to Jen Gluckow. Jen Gittimer, and she will be appearing live on Sell or Die pretty much every day somewhere. And I think that's probably the best thing we can say about her. But this is the challenge.
Wait a minute. That's the best thing you can say about me?
Yeah, to find you. How do I find you? I find you live.
Find me on Instagram. You guys, I'm very active on Instagram. I love Instagram. DM me. If you're in sales, if you're an entrepreneur, I want to get to know you. So just like go in my DM, say hey, and let's chat.
But I would challenge you to get to know her and feel her passion. Feel her belief in what she does, because it's a rare quality.
Can I define passion in one more way?
Sure.
So I was thinking about this, and it's like when...
We think differently, but go ahead.
That's good. So when you're incredibly passionate about it, the money piece goes away. It's like it becomes the thing you would do whether or not it would bring you money. And so, yes, we all need money. Yes, like... I love money. Money's my friend, okay? And I treat money nicely, and it treats me very nicely back, okay? Like, I have this whole thing about how you need to be friends with money. But if you're wondering, like, oh, is that my passion? Is that my passion? Like, you're going to feel in total alignment when you would wake up and do it for free if you could.
Yeah, if you don't know what your passion is, you might want to keep searching. Because you haven't found
it yet. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
So, Jen, it's been wonderful having you here on Sell or Die Women Crush Wednesday.
Thanks for interviewing me on Women Crush Wednesday.
It is a doggone pleasure.
This was so
fun. If you want to talk to the audience for a couple minutes and just let them know what they need to do in order to become a more passionate person, that would probably be the best ending you could give this interview.
Just start journaling about what makes you passionate. Like, wake up in the morning, do a quick meditation, silence your mind, and then figure out, write down, what would be like amazing to do today? If I got to do anything I wanted on the planet, what would that be? And then ask yourself something like, if I had 10 times more confidence, what would I be doing right now? And I can almost guarantee the answer to that question is going to be something that's related to your passion.
Think about it this way. If you wake up in the morning and you'd like to spend the entire day eating ice cream, you might want to open up an ice cream store.
Yeah.
And that way.
And like a treadmill.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Sell sweatpants.
Yeah.
But these are things that you can come to your own reality with if you just identify the things that you love to do. It may not be something that you look at on the surface and say, oh, I can make money doing this. It's ancillary to that. If you love ice cream, open up an ice cream store. And that way, or
just don't give me any.
No,
doesn't
or sell scales.
My
but the important thing for you is find what you love to do, and then you can stop working.
Yeah,
because
it becomes
you love
fun.
Yeah.
So
Jen,
right.
Jen, it's been a pleasure having you here on your show.
Thank you.
And we hope to see you again soon. Thank you very much for being our customer.
All right, guys. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Oh.
What about my ending? For
right,
it's Woman Crush Wednesday.
All right, go ahead.
I always forget my ending, though. It's
Hello.
I'm reminding you that it's Woman Crush Wednesday, but you need to crush it every day.
Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.